All right, call to order at 6:04 of the August 17th, 2023 Mountain Regional Water Special Service District Administrative Control Board meeting. Chris, do we have any public input?
We do not.
All right, that's item one. Andy, do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
Wow, okay, here we go. Item three is the consent agenda. Let's go through sub-item A first. Does anyone have any comments on the July 20th ACB meeting minutes?
No comments for me.
Okay, not hearing any. Moving on to sub-item B. Does anyone have any questions on the July 2023 check register?
Nope.
I have a few questions.
Why don't you go first, Karen?
Okay. I am going to start with, we paid Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District $5,361. Was that just a shared expense for the sewer water monitoring?
That's the USGS station.
Yeah, that's the annual USGS monitoring station that we all pitch in for.
Okay. And then it looked like we paid $9,735 for a sprinkler and landscape repair for Audie Wheeler.
Audie Wheeler is the contractor who did the repair work at, and I forgot to look this up. I think it was like three or four homes that we impacted that they went back through and he did the landscaping and sprinkler work on them.
Where were those homes?
Summit Park.
Silver Springs.
Okay. It was like generic, just scope of work, go take care of these where there was some issues. Got it.
Water line breaks?
Yeah, throughout the winter and just
impact was.
Yeah. We had to dig into the landscaping and things like that. So.
Okay. And it looks like we made a $38,000 payment for two Lost Canyon pumps. I was wondering if that was budgeted or if that was kind of a surprise.
They had a repair budget of about $100,000 for expenses. So these necessarily weren't identified as they were going to be done, but there's budget in the expense budget for them.
Okay. Sorry, I feel like I have a lot of them this month.
You're helping me, Karen, because I'm checking them off my list.
Okay, good. So we paid $76,626 to Paul and Beverly Perot as a refund of a concurrency payment.
Yeah, it was an impact fee for one of the dream lots up in Colony that they went through the whole process of returning their building permit, asking for their impact fee back, kind of jumped through all the hoops. That one required extra work from Sam because it's above our tank up there. So we deducted time that was spent on our part from the impact fee and then refunded the remaining portion.
Okay. And then these are my last two. Chemtech, it seemed like the water sample testing at $9,888 was a lot higher than normal.
If I remember right, when I saw that bill, it had the pesticides on it.
Yes.
Yeah, two quarters back to back with a heavy Chemtech bill for pesticides testing.
Okay. And then on the credit card bill, it looked like somebody had a family member in the ICU, and I was hoping their family member was okay.
Yes, Stacy's son was mountain biking and hit his head, broke ribs, was pretty banged up, lacerated a spleen, I believe. And so he ended up in the ICU for a while. So we bought him some gift certificates to get some pizzas at a pizza place they like.
But is he doing okay now?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he's doing much better. He's actually
okay. Come on. Great.
For help for a couple of weeks.
And then the last one was just, it looked like it, there was a, like, did Eric lose all the glass in his car? It looked like the windshield had to be replaced and the back windshield had to be replaced. And we had to buy a backup windshield for Eric's car.
The windshield was Eric's. The back window was a different car, but I can see how the description describes that as one, but it was at the same place. So just one credit card charge.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Okay. Those were my questions.
Anybody else before I go? Okay. Thanks, Karen. Energy Management Corp. There was a whole bunch of general maintenance charges that added up to $26,000. I think it was on generator maintenance. Is that once a year we have them come through, or?
Exactly. Yes. And okay. It's a whole, it's the three big ones in Lost Canyon, the treatment plant, Signal Hill, Summit Booster, 15-week. Buy some bluffs as well.
Just get it all done at once. Have the contract. Yep, makes sense. Okay. Next one, Hydro Specialties, the Badger meters and endpoints. We purchased some more of those.
Yes. The endpoints are just
expansion wear, or yeah.
What was?
Are these for additional? Because I thought we had bought all the Badger meters we needed. So these are like new.
We kind of buy them as we need them. Take the deposit from customers.
Well, the initial swap is all done. That part's completed. This is new.
These are all just new customers.
New construction. Yeah.
Wow.
How much are those meters a piece?
It varies on the size of a meter, but an endpoint is roughly about $170, and the smallest meter is about $280. Okay. So even for a 3/4-inch meter, all put together is a little over $400.
Still, that's a good number of additions coming on.
So yeah.
That's a good metric to kind of have in the head. Okay. Thank you. And then, excuse me, my last one, semi-service, the 2006 crane truck, new bed and crane. It was a 2006 crane.
It's a 2006 truck that has kind of low mileage on it.
Okay.
We needed a new bed because it kind of rusted out and a new crane on it so it can operate. So we didn't have to replace the truck, but just the bed and the crane.
All right. I read that wrong.
The old crane was problematic.
So it's a new crane, new bed. We're making that truck go as many miles as we can get out of it. Awesome. Okay. That's it from me. Not seeing anyone else. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. So that's Lisa and Joel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's approved. Unanimously. All right, moving on to item 4, financial management. Over to you, Steve. All right.
So in July, we did get a little even better than budget than we were at the end of June. So we're at $2.2 million net position through July. So $717,000 better than budget. Made up of revenue that's $313,000 better than budget, and expenses that are $404,000 lower than budget. Interest earnings is really helping us out a lot this year. As you see, we've already made $650,000 in interest this year compared to a budget of just over $200,000. So the PTIP is paying 5.1% right now to us. Scroll down a little bit. You'll kind of see retail water sales. If you recall, that number was even more negative. The variance, it was over 300,000. We did make a little bit back in July. So we're coming closer back to budget. Promontory raw water, that's still kind of the lingering. They used about what we expected in July, but since June was so little for them, that's still below. Development related collections, impact fees in the paragraph below, you can kind of see are about $490,000. And the way we account for meters is when they make the deposit, it's kind of a liability for us. And then when we actually install it, that's when we can recognize the revenue. So meter installs this year are actually a little bit above budget right now too. So So that's why development related collections. And then the other revenue is where the interest income is really the good number. What makes that so better than so the variance so positive compared to budget? Expenses, we're still doing well. The 400,000 below, a lot of that still lower salary and wages from some of those delayed hires and just some of the things that happened there. And repair costs, they're getting closer to budget, but we're still below budget on those for the year. Let's see. So we can probably skip past that chart. Cash. We did drop in our operating cash during July. We made that first payment on the Summit Park tank of about $840,000. You probably saw on the check register. So that dropped out. This month, I just moved $500,000 out of the reserves by held by district or impact fees to help pay for that. So that comes back up into our operating cash and reserves. So that's kind of the big change. We're actually starting to spend money now. For a long time, we were kind of keep growing and growing, but capital projects are that we're completing this year will go through the cash, but all planned, all what we knew was going to happen.
So where did you move $500,000 from the reserve?
From impact fees, which is part of the debt reserves held by the district. Right. So basically moves it from a restricted cash to a cash that we can use on anything we want because it was in our last IFFP and part of our impact fee plan.
So wait, for what did it go to towards?
Just to the top line where we can use it for anything.
What project?
Oh, what project? Sorry, Summit Park tank. The tank can be funded 30% by impact fees.
Yeah.
Because of the growth element.
Great. Thank
you. Beth, let's go ahead and go down a little bit more. Customer growth, a little deeper right there. So through July now, we're at 77 new connections, kind of that bottom section, compared to a four-year average of 157. And again, kind of back to 2019 and 2020 levels, not near the 21 and 22 record levels. And Promontory was at 15 lots compared to four-year average of 36. So again, going back to kind of our normal growth pattern. All right. And this should be usage. Probably the most interesting number here is if you look at the top, the purple, that was usage in July. So the 363 acre feet. If you look up in 2022, it was very low because of the drought restrictions and things like that. But we were still just below 2021 usage, overall usage by our customers. So given our growth, when we calculated that out, our customers are actually using about 13% less water per customer than they did back in 2021. Wow. So that's an interesting number to look at.
13% across all customer groups?
If you
take the average across the whole district.
Across the whole district.
Did you put the schedule? We did it by category as well.
But I haven't put it in the board packet, but maybe I will at the end of August, kind of that. Remember last year when we were very interested in by category? I'll throw that in for next board meeting.
That's super interesting. Does that need to be a board edition, Andy, or can that just be in an email inside the board?
I think you can email that.
Okay.
I'll look at it.
Look for the beginning of next week. I'm going to add a couple more columns, make sure it's understandable without me explaining it, let's say.
No, thank you for doing that. That's an interesting step.
Okay. Then let's drop down a little bit. Yeah, that's all good. Park City's taking a lot of water still, and some of water is taking what? They'll take their 700 acre feet by the end of the year. Okay, as you can see, our line recovered. So our blue line did bounce back. As you noticed, it was well down in June that hurt, but July, that was very close to budget, a little bit above, so that's why it popped back up. Just for reference, when you were thinking of when we look at this next month, the blue line budget is between the red and purple.
Okay.
So we should end up about midway between there as long as we're on budget for August. Let's go ahead and scroll down. And this is kind of that detail by category. So residential, a little bit above, commercial, very close, churches, everything was really close. Park City still running high above budget. And the large variance in standby fees, if you saw in the report, Matt Lowe, who's doing all the Silver Creek,
he bought prepays from Whitney Payton. Going back to the original documents, those should be charged for prepaid or a standby fee. So we invoiced him for that. So that wasn't in the budget. So that's kind of found money as long as we can get him to pay it. And I think that's about it.
Who found that?
And he made us all read a lot. And then we asked Dave. And there was a document from... He hasn't paid yet. There's
yeah, well, I was like, he hasn't paid.
Oh, sorry. But who, I mean, still finding it and putting that out there, that's great.
Yeah, so it was good. There was a previous from a couple of CFOs ago who'd written up a summary that said they shouldn't be paid. We don't know why. We couldn't find anything that documented that. Hmm. And so we're like, why are we not charging? So, but, and Andy, as he read through things that he asked, why, you know, those are good questions. So
that's a good one.
All right. I think that's the last page on that.
Is Matt giving you a rough time?
No, he just hasn't responded. We asked him, like I told him, I warned him, hey, you're going to get a bill for all these prepaids. He's just been crickets. But they used some of them to help fund some more homes back there, so they're aware. So.
Okay.
Is that the point of the prepaid, so they pay them then? I don't understand how that works.
I'm not sure either. I'd have to read a little bit of the history. I mean,
this all goes back to Bob Larson.
Yeah, he bought them out of a bankruptcy. Whitney Payton and them bought them out of a bankruptcy for some water rights that somebody owned in the area. So they had rights and source. But even when they have, but most of those had paid standby fees, and Matt Lowe was actually paying standby fees on the other ones he had, but these hadn't been assessed a standby fee. So kind of like even if you build a home, if our infrastructure's, or if you plan to build a home and our infrastructure's in front of that house, you're paying a standby fee.
Wait, aren't you paying a standby even if you just have a lot?
Yes.
You don't have to have intent to build a home, do you?
Unless you put a restrictive covenant on it.
Oh, okay.
And which a lot of people in Summit Park do, but then if they ever do decide to build on it, they have to pay all the back standby fees plus interest.
So unless you combine two lots, there'd be no incentive to do that restrictive covenant. Yep.
Or if you know you're never going to sell it or never build on it.
Turn it into a wildlife preserve.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
All right. Any questions on the financial update?
So you feel the little water sales were kind of down in June, but they were back. Is that the message?
We made back ground we lost in June. We were back to budget, what was kind of forecast. August, we got rain now, but the first part of August, I think usage was probably normal. So we'll have to just wait to see how the month finishes. But with our savings and expenses and the extra revenue out of interest earnings, and impact fees actually doing a little better than we thought, we won't have any trouble with revenue for the year.
What's your gut feeling? Are we going to come in about where we budgeted, or do you think we'll come in a little above?
We'll come in above.
Last month. Okay.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, no. For just August. I thought
just August. Just August.
I think we're going to be a little below.
Okay.
I looked at those numbers today, and I do drop. August, it's weird. August, at times, will be our historically highest revenue month, but at times it drops off. Thunderstorms seem to kick up more likely in August. Yeah. So you'll see some variance in August. So
people are just much more aware of doing things like that, Mike. It was before 2 or 3 years ago, people didn't care. They got turned on. But now people are much more mindful. The one thing that was good about July is that it was very normal July. It was hot and dry. And so it was easy to compare year over year usage because you didn't have a really wet June. Sometimes we'll have a really hot June, and then it's really hard to compare those. Same thing can happen in August. We also could have a really hot September and people don't shut off, or we could have an early snow and they shut off. So being able to compare a July that was normal to prior years was really indicative, I think, of where our trends are heading with revenue. And we had budgeted based on 2021, which was kind of a, you know, what we're kind of using as our average. And it has kind of led us to believe that that is a good number for what our customers are using right now.
And I guess another insight on my side would be that it's a nice compliment to all our teams and the messaging they've done in the communities that people are kind of having some of those proactive thoughts and change behavior. Yeah.
Well, the drought rates last year definitely helped change some behavior too. We hit pocketbooks last year in that.
Well, Steve, you and I were looking at the tier. We were, you know, going through and looking at really detailed level of where customers are using. And you'll have to refresh my memory, but we were looking at those high-tiered water users, let's say over the 50,000 gallons. You know, we have almost cut those like in half of what people were using in, say, like a 2020 year or, you know, that number or 21 has been cut in half for those high-tiered years. Yeah. So you're not getting a huge... You know, that high tiered revenue is not coming in like it used to, but we're also, you know, on the flip side, saving water and thus maybe pushing off capital projects.
And the base is growing. Which
and
is
the base good. Is growing, which is using less water because your product is different back here. So,
great summary, Steve.
Thank you. Included in the packet,
Joel's got a question.
Oh, yeah. Joel.
No. Go ahead and finish. My question, we have to go back, but go ahead.
I was going to move on to my next.
That's all right.
Okay. We're in the next sub item, so maybe this is a good time for a question on the July stuff.
Well, this is just a general question, and that is all the expenses that we've had, whether it be a truck or the check register, anything the check register, are we getting different bids? We're just accepting the numbers that they give us, all the vendors.
It depends on the situation. There's a whole procurement policy that's about this thick that we have to follow. If we can buy something under state contract, so those are pre-negotiated prices like trucks, then there's really good pricing. We're lucky we can get part of it as being a government entity.
So we're not just accepting... say it's $5,000 for whatever.
Yeah.
We're just not accepting $5,000.
If something's more than $10,000, we're supposed to get multiple bids unless there's a reason we can't. For example, maybe like SKM, who does all our programming of our SCADA system. You know, we can't have somebody, we can't bid that every time to have somebody else come in and connect with our SCADA system. It's kind of like locked in with them now. But anything where we can get a part that we're trying, that's more than $10,000 combined or group, we have to get multiple bids.
Okay.
So yeah. I mean, your team's always shopping around to make sure we're getting the best on parts or going to Ferguson or going to what? I mean, they use different vendors to try to make sure that they're managing.
There's a lot of manufacturers who always shop around whoever has the best deal.
But the other thing, Joel, is sometimes we're forced to stick with one vendor because they're the only one that has that part.
Yeah, unfortunately.
When we do a patch job for paving, unfortunately, the big guys won't come out because the jobs are so small. Collectively, they add up, but they're small, so we kind of get stuck a little bit. But I think they've been fair and responsive, which is important.
My question really was answered, and that is we just sort of accept numbers blindly.
You work with these two? No, we don't.
We talk quite a bit.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. The next thing on the agenda for me was our policy allows us to have the same auditor for 6 years. Mm-hmm. The board, as you can see in there, can approve an auditor to be with us for more than six. So basically, I'm requesting if we could keep the same auditor for one more year. We just have so much going on with the new building and financing and things like that. It's going to be hitting in the spring. I don't want to be breaking in a brand new auditor. So 6 years is great without board approval. To go beyond six, we need board approval. So for your consideration, you don't have to answer tonight. If you want to answer tonight, that's great. But if not, we'll start an SOQ process and go through that this fall for a new auditor.
You're asking for one more year.
One more year tonight.
So, I have some thoughts. I mean, you know, I agree that Dana is a great auditor and she's terrific. But I do think like these rules are in place for a reason. When are, so if we did this for one more year, then we would officially go out to bid for year, I guess year 8, right?
Yes. Dana would still do audit for year 7 for 2023. Next fall, we'd SOQ to get a new auditor for 2024's audit.
Has the current auditor done a pretty good job and finding mistakes or seeing us any money or just pointing things out of general interest?
She's good. I don't know if we could say their intent is to try to save us money. Their intent is to try to make sure we report everything as it should be. And I think she's done an excellent job of that.
That answers my question. Thank you.
And I will say that having not necessarily been directly involved in it, but watching Dana compared to the previous auditors we had, she gets through it much quicker and has a better understanding. It seems from just the outside of the finance world, right? So watching her in the office versus the other auditors that have been in here, she's got a better grasp on it and just less load. For these guys.
It's safe to say that the other firm is doing a good job. You have no reservations?
Yeah, no reservations on the job they're doing. And I agree with Karen. We should. I mean, there's reasons why that's in the policy and reasons you change auditors. You know, it's good to get another set of fresh eyes. I'm just wondering if we want to squeeze one more year out of this auditor.
I guess my question was going to be, is there precedent? I mean, understood that you have the authority through us to do another year, but that also kind of sets precedent that you could just keep doing that on an annual basis. So I guess the question out of that is there precedent for this with the county in any of the other districts? And does the county council have an opinion on extending auditors beyond a 6-year time frame? And is our 6-year time frame similar to other districts? So 2-part question, maybe, Dave.
I think it's similar to other districts because the other districts have the same procurement provisions. As for the county, I don't know if there's a preference or not from the county council.
Have other districts done this where they've extended an audit beyond the 6 years, to your knowledge? Or?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I know Mount Reno did before I was here because I can't remember who was here prior to I. Bailey. But I was here with I. Bailey, and there was a firm that got bought out by I. Bailey. So the auditor didn't really change. It was the same firm, but the staff changed.
Yeah.
So they extended them for another 6-year term.
Okay.
So when I came on, it was I. Bailey, went through the SOQ process with Bob Neumeister, and then ended up with Osborne.
Hey, Chris.
Thank you.
Well,
we're happy to go out and do the RFP. That's fine. There's just a lot with the IFFP and IFA and rate study and public doc, you know, so there's a lot going on right now.
We anticipate that most of that will be resolved by next year so that we aren't having the same conversation in 12 months.
It's going to have to be, yeah.
And I would go ahead, Karen.
I was just going to say, Lisa, you feel the same way as Steve on this?
Yeah, I totally agree that it's good to get a new set of eyes, and I wouldn't want to continue, you know, I think 1 year is fine to just get us through this next few months, which I think are going to be really time intensive. And trying to make a good effort to get through an audit SOQ to find an auditor, I think we should take our time and make sure we're selecting a good auditor. The other thing I did want to say is that in the past with I. Bailey, granted they were a larger firm, but they were also, we were not their number one priority. So I don't know if you were here, Karen, I think Mike, you were, but 1 year we ran up really close to our 180 day deadline. And so Dana has been really responsive with making sure that she's up here in the field and getting us things in a timely manner so that we don't miss our state deadlines and our bond disclosure documents. So I feel really good with making sure that she can hit those targets. And I get a little bit nervous if we're trying to get another auditor in after we've just gone through, you know, what we're going to go through over the next quarter, and then getting them up to speed and making sure we're hitting targets. So that's one of my other concerns, I guess. But I do agree that next year we should go out and, you know, get a fresh set of eyes, or just, you know, see what else is out there, who else might be available to take on the job.
We're not going to wait to the last minute, right?
No. We'll start early enough next year. And that's why we even brought this up in this meeting. It's August. So if you did want us to change, we could get it scheduled and get it done in time. So we didn't want to put this decision on you last minute, like, we've got to help us out. You know, give it a little time to think about it.
Yeah, last time we changed, we were interviewing auditors in December, November, December-ish timeframe for the following year.
And I was just going to say, Karen is our financial expert. I would mostly default to your opinion on this. So if you have a strong opinion one way or the other, I'm comfortable with that. I'll just put that out there. I don't want to speak for the whole board, but that'd be my thought.
Yeah, I just wanted to feel like I don't think it was clear in the memo that it was just kind of a 1 year thing. And I'm okay if it's a 1 year thing. I wasn't going to be okay if we were just going to keep them on, you know, indefinitely.
No, I think you should change auditors, and I don't know if we can promise, but yeah, next year we'll be going out again.
Okay. I would like to make a motion that we allow Osborne, Robbins, and Bueller to continue to provide financial audit services for one additional year.
Second.
Okay, so that's Karen and Joel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Motion carries unanimous. All right. So we're on to sub-item C, Steve. Is that right?
Oh, cash report.
one more.
Dude. This is every 6 months I have to send in a report to the state showing where all our deposits are, that we're following the money management guidelines of the state. You guys see our cash every month because I put that in the report. So this is just kind of your report of what I sent to the state. So you can see, you know, that we've got the cash in the three different places, how much is in balances, and some explanation. So unless there's a question about this specifically, I think we're okay.
I had a question on page 6. Can you roll it up to page 6?
You bet.
It looked like, we might have a payment. Do we have a $1.2 million payment due to Zions Bank this year?
Page 6. It's blowing up a little bit. 6 in the document.
Sorry, I read this over the weekend. So,
I'm trying to think. We might have a bond payment.
Well, I showed that our balance was $500,569,646,000, and right now we're at $1.7 billion. So I wondered if we had a big payment, you know, coming due later this year.
This is at every year we're putting into, let's say, escrow or an account to make the bond payments at the end of the year. So the balance is always the lowest at the end of the year, and it builds throughout the year. So in June, it's building so that the end of, so in December, we can make our bond payments that are over $2 million. So that's why that balance is increasing right now. When we finish 2023, it'll be back down to 600,000 something probably, because we will have made all the bond payments for the year.
Okay. That was my only question.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
All right. Okay. Looks like no other questions. Thanks for the transparency, Steve.
You're welcome.
All right, next, item 5 on the agenda, engineering updates. Sam.
Yeah, so this is the quarterly capital project update. It'll be the last one of the year, and then we'll just do the update at the end of the year like we typically do. We've had a pretty successful construction season so far, starting with the Tier 1 projects, like we have them organized every time. The most significant project continues to be the Tank 1 project. All the significant concrete work is done with the tank. And we've also got a plan to tie the tank into our distribution system, which is the next step before we kind of do final hydrostatic testing and the real final hurdles for the tank. So that's all going in a positive direction. Was a little nervous about the tie-ins. There were a couple unknowns there, but we got everything uncovered and surveyed and should be in good shape. The wall, the concrete work on the walls and the exterior walls turned out really well. It was kind of a exciting pour day, but the product turned out and we got some test sections with stain and reviewed those with the neighbors, the critical adjacent neighbors. And, I think we have pretty good buy-in on that. So I'm hoping that turns out to be a nice product and blends into the neighborhood and doesn't really stand out quite as much as the old bright white, above ground folded steel thing.
Yeah.
So no changes to the budget figures or schedule on that. So that's all positive news. Moving on to the joint project with Snyderville and Summit County Engineering down at Woodland Place and Woodland Drive. The sewer portion of the project is substantially complete. They still need to do their typical inspection testing, camera testing, to kind of ensure everything looks good, but we don't anticipate any problems there. So we've been shifting to the water portion of the project, the first step of which is adding necessary isolation valves, which were badly needed just in general, but before the water main work can continue, those have to be completed. And Brian and the ops folks have been instrumental in working long hours with these shutoffs and making sure those get done. So they've been super helpful there. And should be nearing the end, finished all the isolation valving, I guess, at this point. So that's all positive news.
And they're still on target for that mid-October date?
Yeah, as of now. I think it'll be tight. It'll be kind of a race to the finish now.
You can tell they're taking it seriously. They're working, like, long.
Yeah.
They're out there till dusk or dark most evenings.
Yep, they're putting in long hours. Yeah, they're kind of utility foreman running the excavator. He's pretty good. And he was actually, he had a trailer set up at the bottom of Summit Park. So he was really nice and handy for a lot of the project. I think he's since relocated, but he's still, yeah, he got down in the lay down yard, kind of the.
Really?
Southern County what?
He's actually working out pretty much. But that's okay.
Until it wasn't.
That's
all right. No, it's about the Martin size trip.
So that's the update there. The budget figure is in flux. So we accommodated a request from County Engineering to take a different approach to basically essentially reconstruct the roadway from scratch. They were concerned having two utility trenches in the roadway, they'd end up with a worse product than we started, which there's some merit to that. But it did introduce some more risk into the project and the dust hasn't quite settled from that. But, you know, I'm hoping we can still keep it within the contingency amount on our budget and still be in good shape. So we're working through that. There's some additional geotechnical engineering work that's going on right now, and we're trying to solve all those problems as quickly as possible. And schedule, we already touched on the schedule. It's going to be tight, but yeah, we need to get it paved before the paving deadline. There's just no two ways about that.
Yep.
Moving on to the tier two projects. Both of these happen to be betterments or, you know, requested projects on another contract, in this case with Promontory. We've kind of talked about the Sage Hills Estates betterment. It's an alternative transmission pathway through Promontory. It gives us redundancy on our main transmission line exiting the development and entering Atkinson. No changes to budget. The schedule seems to be plugging along. We have limited control over the schedule given it's Promontory's project, but they're motivated and making progress out of Sage Hills. And Browns Canyon Connection Betterment is an upsize and extension of a water line on the roadway, running down the Browns Canyon Road. This has not been awarded yet by Promontory. They're working through some unforeseen conditions, so we're still operating off a budget figure there, and we don't have a contracted amount. So there's a little bit of unknowns with that one as well. And then moving on to the Tier 3 or internal projects, spine booster pump station upgrade. We've talked about that a lot and kind of gave an electrical update, the last quarterly update. Project's now substantially complete. Kind of got a photo of the stonework that was finished with the expanded building footprint. And also the roadway you can see there, which heads to the west, is going to be replaced with a new drive as part of the short course project for Promontory. So they're providing new paved access to the building, which will be an improvement. So that access will eventually go away and the site will get cleaned up there. The Silver Springs Booster Pump Station White Pine Tank Connection, which is a transfer pump, kind of adding resiliency and more source utilization area in the Silver Springs and Atkinson zone, is also completed. We did use a new fabricator for that project, so I think we're going to be tight on that budget number as well. Just unfamiliarity with the contractor. And
our usual fabricator doesn't do it anymore, so you have to find something new. He's a little more expensive.
Do good work. Was expensive.
Yeah.
And they're coming out of Salt Lake instead of mobilizing from Colville, correct? So I think that is part of the reason to do it.
Piping fabricator?
Yeah. So they did all the welding, powder driving. There's some pretty custom pipe work to make this all happen. We got 5 pumps in that pump station now.
And it's the most complicated facility in the district as far as like
spaghetti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It ties together 3 different pressure zones. I guess every which way you can do it now. So we got it. We got them all covered. And then we'll, of course, end of the year figure, provide an updated budget figure once all these invoices get processed. And happy to do that, of course. We're going to switch into finishing the Colony air brake tank upgrade now that we're kind of over the hump with peak season. We've got the parts and plan necessary in place and just waiting for some availability from the operations folks to get that internal project done. And then SunPeak Well 2 is progressing. We've had the rehabilitation completed, videoed, and awaiting. I'm putting a new pump in, I guess.
The pumping order's in. Okay. We're just waiting on electrical instead at this point.
Yep. Yeah, electrical is kind of a lead item with Rocky Mountain, just timing, getting on their schedule. We need to run a larger service line. The old one, the old meter base are no longer viable. So we need to run a larger conduit, larger meter base. And some of that stuff's just taking a long time to acquire.
Yeah. We're ticking all the regulatory boxes, but a lot of the sampling effort, obviously, we have not been able to do without the actual pump and electrical hookup to the well. So we'll continue work on that as well. But no changes to the budget figure and still kind of shooting for end of year to get everything buttoned up. So that's a big quarterly update. There's a schedule included and everybody's working.
On the SunPeak well, do you do a typical startup procedure where you kind of like see what the sustainable yield is with the new pump?
We will.
Yeah, kind of like because it hadn't been pumped in a while before this?
Yeah, it's been almost 20 years.
Yeah. So prior data may not be referred to what we currently do. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to fire it up and see what happens.
Right on.
Yeah, I'll be keeping a close eye on that. Of course, we have water level data live in the SCADA system. So awesome. Should be able to wrap our heads around.
This is a little bit different pump downhill as the thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Master plan.
And then just another master plan update. This is just totally for the board's information, trying to feed them information along as we get it. So we're not just clubbing you with hundreds of pages at one time. So this is section 2 of the master plan. It'll be the final section of the master planning document. And then the impact fee facility plan will be the next big deliverable we'll get from the Bowen Funds folks. So the internal goal is to have a a draft of the IFFP and a kind of presentation wrapping it all together, you know, a larger, more in-depth presentation wrapping everything up at the board retreat in September. So that's our internal goal. And then I can just give a brief overview of my take on the report. So it breaks down into the typical system components, storage, pump station capacity, distribution and transmission. On the storage evaluation, with our Summit Park Tank 1 project, there are no significant needs identified for the district, which is great news. They take a slightly different approach than we've done internally in the past, where they base equalization needs off of peak demands, whereas we've always typically done, looked at an entire year, so an average annual demand to size those equalization needs. They're fairly similar, but in either case, they kind of tick the box there. So that's the storage piece.
Is one more conservative than the other, in your opinion? Or?
It depends on the neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah, so if a neighborhood peaks more, like Promontory, then the peak day evaluation will require more equalization, right? But somewhere like Summit Park with a smaller peaking factor, then the reverse trend would be true.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting to take both sides of it. But in general, just in water industry standard, a typical average annual to peak day is somewhere in the 2 range. Ours is a little over that. So whether you think of it as average annual demand or half your peak day, they're going to be pretty close. On pump station,
do the tanks look bigger because our usage per unit is going down? Is that what's going on?
I wouldn't say they look bigger. I think it just kind of verified our, you know, internal take or analysis that they're adequately sized. Yes.
For this, because to me it feels like our, you know, our sizing criteria compared to the states is kind of low. Right? Per unit?
The state's modern sizing criteria has changed a little bit, but it's essentially equivalent to an average annual figure. So that
used to be 400 gallons per day.
And now they have a system-specific standard for each system. So each system has its own standard. And they're essentially back into it using an average annual number.
What's our average annual on gallons per day?
Per customer.
Is it, are we just talking gallons per minute usually?
Yeah, I honestly don't know if I've done that. Okay. I could definitely get it.
Well, no, I didn't mean to surprise you on that. That's fine.
No, that's fine. But
the good news is the tanks are adequate.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And just to touch on the old sizing standards, when you run those compared to our real world, and I say in general across the state, I would say the indoor sizing requirement was overly conservative.
Yeah.
And the old one was. The outdoor piece was generally aggressive, I guess you'd say. And for a lot of combined systems, those would balance out to be in the ballpark. I think that was kind of the case for us.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question too? I feel like over the past couple of months, we've been told the Signal Hill water treatment plant needs to get, you know, significantly bigger. And this is, so does this say that our existing capacity is sufficient even going forward, or it just seems like it's conflicting?
Yeah, no, that's a good comment. So any source project was not evaluated in this section one. That's kind of the first part of the master plan we all kind of gave a presentation on the board on. So the demands, projections, and any potential need for source development was not included in this section of the memo. So all those would still be applicable on the section one that we kind of previously presented.
And then on page 3, like the table 11.2, it's got like a short term and a long term. Like, can you explain why we would have, does that mean if we have an unlimited budget, we would replace it on the shorter life cycle? Or is it just that some pipe is on the shorter life cycle and some is on the longer life cycle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we'll segue to the kind of distribution system portion. And I thought this figure was a really good illustration of the work and the kind of takeaway. So this is a fairly high level, you know, conceptual calc on if we were to replace all the pipeline in the district over the course of 60 years at current construction prices in 2023 dollars, they're coming up with an annual investment of that $9.5 million, which is a staggering number. On the 90-year side, which would be the upper end of what we'd get out of a lifespan of a pipe, then the number comes down to that $6.3 million. So it's a range. And obviously, our budget can't accommodate that kind of annual investment into our distribution system. But I think it's good perspective of kind of where we're at as a district. I mean, we have a 25-mile area, service area, but we have a pretty, you know, on a statewide scale, I'd say a smaller customer base. So that just, that makes it, a unique challenge, I would say, to make sure we're staying up on things. So obviously this $10 million annual investment in the distribution system isn't happening. I'm assuming it's still.
No.
Okay. So, so to me, that just points to the fact that, you know, we can be smarter with, or as smart as possible with the resources we have. So I think that's going to build into, you know, the effort the next few years that I think is important, you know, making any improvement we can in our asset management strategy and just being as smart as possible. Cause it, we just can't, you know, throw dumb money at it, replace the entire distribution system. It's just not possible. So that's why I wanted to put that chart in there in the distribution side. I think it's just like a good snapshot of where we are and kind of what we're up against. So I don't know if that answers your question, Karen, but.
No, it does. It does. I couldn't determine whether it was one or the other or if it was both.
Yeah. And I kind of snapped that out of context. That's a good comment, but, I thought it was worth discussion.
And I have a related question, to this table on the wells, line item or row, 80 to 100 years for service life. That seemed a bit high to me. But I think it helped with my other observation that those shorter life cycle and longer life cycle costs seemed really low. So a function of those being so low is that you are assuming that your assets are lasting 80 to 100 years.
Right.
Well, and that's not the pumps and the columns and everything. That's like the whole location.
Totally.
Okay.
Well, that's a good comment. Maybe you could give a little feedback. Doesn't have to be now, but yeah, if we could tune those numbers up a little bit.
Typically, like in 40 to 50 year cost models,
yeah,
we use replacing that infrastructure on the same life cycle as the model itself. So on that 40 to 50 year time frame. So I'm about half of what you've got there.
Awesome. Thank you.
So yeah, no worries.
Let's see. Hopping back to the pump station capacity. I think the main point there that warrants discussion is just the big upgrades that are happening and continue to happen up at the Olympic Park. I think this highlights the need for us to, you know, work with the Olympic Park folks, and maybe it'd be a good time to, you know, do a deep dive on that system, what their plans are, get their updated development plan, see where we're at, and you know, individually coordinate with them over the next year or so. Because I know they have a lot of development plans cooking in addition to their, I mean, they're essentially building a ski resort or training facility for the Olympic team over there.
And they've knocked on our door already, right?
They're in pretty constant, I don't know, if you want to speak to that one.
Yeah. Every 2-3 months, they keep, you know, knocking and knocking and knocking, and they're trying to figure out how to control their costs and provide water. And so we'll have a conversation on Monday to see what the next steps are.
So we don't have a legal handshake yet, but they're still keen to.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's our infrastructure's up there. It's already annexed into our district. It's just what are the next steps?
Yep. Okay.
They've, the last couple of years really pushed the limits of what we're capable of providing. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, they have a wintertime peak, obviously, from snowmaking. We don't technically have a snowmaking connection, I guess, because we are wheeling Summit Water's water, but it's a snowmaking connection. And it's the only place in the district where we see that. So yeah, the peak and needs of the system are flat from everywhere else in the district. So it kind of presents its own unique challenge. And then on the transmission side, there is nothing again that, you know, we didn't have on our radar. This study actually started before Andy came on as a transmission study of getting water out of Promontory. So I think we have a framework of any possible improvements that have to happen there. And, those are captured in the plan as well. So that all culminates in, their recommended capital improvement plan, which again will get, refined, tuned up, and then kind of form the basis of this, IFFP effort, in addition to, you know, everything else that goes into that.
And I sent out a correction to table 12-2, as the projected cost of the upgrades of the treatment plant came down, the table wasn't updated. So I apologize that that was sent out incorrectly, but I sent that out this afternoon, with those numbers.
Yeah. And then there's, I don't know what the page count is, but there's huge files involved with all the appendices part of the plan. So we're happy to provide those. I just didn't want to, throw out a bunch of information, for the review. So anyways, we'll have a more comprehensive, presentation at the September board retreat, but that's the interim update just to keep everybody looking.
So it feels like you're not getting a lot of information on what's going to be needed at the Olympic Park. So how do you, right? That's a gap into here.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we do need to take another step there and coordinate directly with those folks, see what their expectations are. I mean, they're going on their own drilling a well right now, trying to meet their snowmaking needs. That's an unknown. We have a unique relationship with Summit Water and us as the wheeler there, and legally, you know, long-term what that looks like. They have additional development that may exceed their shareholder water right with Summit Water that may look like some sort of impact fee with the district, and we need those long-term answers for those folks.
That's a hard problem.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of easy answers, pushing water up that hill as it currently stands. So I think that's really why we see a lot of reticence on the side of the Olympic Park folks is.
But with the impact of the Olympics coming back, I think we're going to see more and more. Our conversations are going to become more frequent because they've been sporadic. And we kind of said, giving them the same message over and over again, but now it's getting down to crunch time.
I mean, they see them, they are a nonprofit, or I don't understand how the legal entity works, and that's how they see themselves. But to us, I mean, they're a developer essentially. So I think there's a little mixed messaging happening there where, you know, typically a big development would come in, those folks would supply the necessary infrastructure and make that work and fill the gap. That's just not how they typically, I'd say, operated in the business. So, but it's all things that we can work through.
Because that was built by the Olympic Committee and then deeded over to the district, wasn't it?
Yeah, but a lot of the infrastructure to, again, move water up the hill is part of the original Silver Springs Water Company. So the transmission pathways and some of the original pump stations, the spring tank, that's a legacy of the Silver Springs Water Company. And then we got the Olympic Park and those big improvements kind of put on top. So now we have a stacked water system that was never intended to provide snowmaking at a ski resort, for example.
Right.
So now we're in this position where we're maxing out our everything we can do out of those, that conveyance system can, you know, provide those needs. But we're at the limit, I would say. Brian,
no, there. The thing I want maybe to do, we still want to do it. It's going to be costly.
But they committed to and started to drill a well now in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, they're taking steps like in the right direction, but. Yeah, the big picture things like transmission line
We didn't think about that when we were doing it. Right, that firm that I used to work at, we did, that was one of our projects.
Right.
We didn't contemplate a ski resort or an Olympic training facility. It was just water for the park.
Yeah. The system kind of maxes out around 600 gallons a minute.
Yeah. Probably an MGD. Yeah.
They want a quarter magnitude bigger.
So what, they're going to need 10?
They want as much as they can.
Okay. And you should see, yeah. The site plan includes two hotels, a gondola that connects into Vale.
Say again.
The site plan includes two hotels and a gondola that connects into Vale.
But they did put in a, how big is that pond? 2 million. 2 million gallon pond at the bottom. That they're using nothing on storage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're making steps. It's just not.
Yeah, they're putting the pond in, and then they're also expanding their snowmaking to very large ski run that they previously didn't have. So it's kind of like one step forward to whatever happens. Steps and hills,
Very interesting.
Yeah, not a problem. So that's
my spiel. Yeah, just a general question. I know we talked about the Olympic Park and the Olympics, but do we need to anticipate anything about for the others, like Woodward or?
Woodward's Gorgoza.
Gorgoza, okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd say Park City. System does the rest of the heavy lifting with snowmaking, kind of in the basin.
Yeah.
Would be my general impression.
I'm just concerned that if we get the Olympics, we're going to have everybody and their brother wanting to make improvements. And that concerns me. Maybe it shouldn't. I don't know, but I just think we need to try to anticipate what might happen.
Absolutely.
So, it's a good comment.
It's a good one. With that though, any other questions on the draft master plan for Sam?
Nope.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Let's move to item 6, general manager comments.
So let me just jump back into engineering briefly. We are interviewing candidates for staff engineering position. So okay. That's moving along.
How many candidates?
We're probably seeing 4 or 5. Some are looking for a total hybrid from opposite sides of the country, which won't work for us. And we've had a couple of others.
I think we have 5 good ones, or 5 promising.
Local or willing to relocate?
Yeah. One of which was not willing to relocate.
Yeah. Are we looking at a particular type of engineers?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have a water resource background if possible, but it's a challenging hiring market. It's good time to get a job if you're an engineer. So.
Okay. Thank you.
We are in the process of getting ready to submit our CUP MPV because the building sizes exceed 10,000 square feet. We thought we could just submit the CUP. The county came back and said, no, we have to do the MPV, so we're working through that. Next week, we hope to meet out on site with all parties related to Mountain Regional on site. Some blasting has occurred on that site. In the next couple of weeks, we'll get a geotech out there to determine exactly what we have on that property so we can make sure we have everything in place for next spring. So everything is moving along. Part of the discussion is with lead times on electrical equipment, we need to start honing in on what we're going to put out there. Some of those lead times can be up to 60 weeks. So that could play, I mean, you're worried about porcelain toilets and we're worried about whether we'll have power or not. So we're trying to make sure we have all of that understood. We've met with furniture reps in Salt Lake over the last couple of weeks to get a budget on that. So we know as best we can on how much we're going to spend on the building. So as soon as the
the CUP application is ready, I will send it out to the board just for your for information. It'll be a public document. Questions on the building?
Are we doing any fundraising for the building?
We're not doing any fundraising. We are exploring or trying to explore some grant opportunities, see if we can offset some costs in the conservation garden. Part of our problem is the 84098 zip code. People look at Park City as very affluent. And so some grants that may be available to other people are not necessarily available to us. We're trying to have a conversation with the USDA on some money through the infrastructure reserve bill. It may be an opportunity to get some 40-year money at a relatively cheap expense, but we won't have that conversation for another couple of weeks. We're trying to look at it the best way we can.
The thing that concerns me a little bit is, I'm asking the question, should we be doing any fundraising at all?
Are you offering to do a bake sale?
Oh, sure. What would you like?
You know, it's a real interesting question, Joel, because we, you know, understanding costs and understanding the impact to the ratepayer. And so we're trying to be judicious.
I gotcha.
As we do that, and we're exploring whatever opportunities, grants or whatever. But like I say, there are some things we're just not eligible for. But we're exploring this USDA funding, see if that's a possibility.
Is there anyone that wants to donate some money to the, let's say we naming rights?
We have members of the council that don't believe in naming rights.
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
And it would have been a fine building, but
Joel fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Richmond's campus.
Could have a statue.
Oh, that's fine.
So our original estimate was about $12 million, and then we got to 30% or something and got a updated estimate to about 18.
Yeah.
Are we still, did we value engineer back? Where are we?
We haven't gone back since then, but in that $18 million, there are things like FF&E, the architect fees, the CMGC fees, which are already being paid outside of. And the goal is to sell this building, apply proceeds for the FF&E. So we're shooting for about $15 million.
That we would finance?
Yes.
How much money do we have out there right now in debt?
About $32 million.
That's significantly compared to what we've got now.
It is a significant change. And that'll be a lot of the board retreat in September, too, is running what the rates could be or will be based on building costs and timing,
yeah,
and things like that.
Yeah, throwing the treatment plant upgrades in there.
Yeah.
At 35.
No, so that 20, number's come down to about 28.
And we've got 30 now, so it's significant.
Yeah, it is.
Between the two, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on the building? So in the packet is a proposed agenda for our next board meeting on September 14th. Which will be held at Zions Bank, in town off of Snow Creek. Are there any additions or subtractions that the board would like to see? A suggestion was even made this morning in our staff meeting. Maybe we need to factor in some break times. One of the things that's been absolutely apparent is we need to engage, in an asset management plan. That is something that in order to move forward, we need to really understand what we have, the useful life on things, how to prioritize what we need to replace, when we need to replace it, cost to replace it. We've been talking to a couple of engineering firms on that and getting a couple presentations. So later on this year, we will be doing an SOQ for that to hopefully get that rolling as soon as we can in 2024. Critical to that is to get a staff engineer on prior to engaging in that, so that person can help manage this process. So is there anything else on this proposed agenda that anyone would like to see added or subtracted?
I would support the breaks going in for sure. I think everyone, you know, giving up an entire day of their time, having a couple of breaks to maybe catch up with folks outside of the Mount Regional business would be appreciated. I was surprised there was no team building activities listed. You know, ropes course or something like that, but you know.
I thought it was really good when we did the last one, when you came in and you were Summit Water, and then Clint came in from Park City, and just to kind of get a, you know, sort of a sense of the community around us and what are they dealing with and how do we.
Is there anyone
concurrence?
And that's where I was going to kind of go is maybe not a formal team building activity, but building our knowledge base, I think, would be valuable. So bringing in some outside opinions is one way.
So one of the thoughts is, does anyone want to go do a tour of Three Kings of the new treatment plant? Because it's right across the street.
I would love a tour is right up that alley. And I was surprised. Yeah, I was hoping potentially we were doing either a tour there or underground to some of our city's infrastructure, looking at drain tunnels, whatever. But yeah.
Okay.
Maybe the rec district. It would have, you know, some interesting insight of, you know, what are they dealing with? How do they do like impact fee and figuring?
Yeah, I can talk to Dana.
You know, I don't know.
Okay. I like Three Kings. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I'll find out from Clint if that's possible that day. I mean, does anyone want to go back to RTR treatment plant or anything? Three Kings doesn't work. Yeah. Have you been there enough?
Seems like a long haul.
It is.
All the way over there and back. I mean, I think Three Kings fits in. I mean, it's a really packed agenda already. So.
And we certainly could take things out. We can add whatever. So is there anything else? Is there anything you'd like to subtract from this agenda?
I think that was one of my observations was it was quite full and I didn't see anything that I would take off necessarily. So potentially that speaks to, you know, maybe we need more activities like this through the year in the future. I'm not proposing it right now, but it seems like we easily filled up an entire day.
Quickly.
And there's potentially a cool.
Yeah. So we have a lot coming. And the purpose of this meeting in my mind is to get direction from the board on what the priorities are, what you'd like to see, how we're going to pay for things. And things like that. So hopefully it's really after we get through the control board agenda, it's really a collaborative meeting where we can just talk things through and hash things out.
Use maybe another pass through concurrency and how, what's the schedule D or whatever that where you put the water on the table and how long it stays on and how that fits with bringing on an importation project, because that's feels like that's what leads us into kicking an importation project.
Would you want to hear from someone from Weber Basin?
No.
That's quick.
You can come to the regionalization meeting on Tuesday.
Maybe just an update from. I've always kind of wondered how that. Never understood how. Work exactly.
Okay. Anything else?
Is there a regionalization meeting on Tuesday?
I have it penciled in at the Park City Library.
Oh, I just didn't have that on my calendar.
Yeah, they've never updated anything, Karen. I will confirm with Matt.
I had the same question this morning to Andy that I had something penciled in there as a tentative, but we haven't seen an agenda or a firm time and date.
You know what? It just reminded me of I got the estimated tax bill and the Weber Basin thing went way up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when do we bill what that's for? We get, has anybody asked? Any customers?
Paxman was going for? In front of the council, I thought.
Was there a presentation in the council packet recently?
Yeah.
It's not just this side of the county. I got it in Oakley as well.
Yeah, we're in the boundary.
The whole.
What do we get for it? Yeah. I don't.
I'll see if I can. I'll dig up the presentation that they just gave to the council 2-3 weeks ago. Scott Paxman was there.
Thank you.
Anything else that you want to see or not see? Anything you want to eat in particular? Food's important.
I think it looks good. Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. All right, so on to item 7, legal. Dave, do you have anything for us tonight, please, please, please?
Nope. You might have seen something in a couple of days.
Ah, okay. All right. We will keep our ears open and, pay attention. All right. So, go ahead.
Andy. Can I just jump back real quick?
Yeah. Back to general manager?
Yeah, kind of an off catch-all. Caden and Chris have helped us develop this map showing how many fire hydrants. It was really helpful to have all these summer help us this summer, and how many fire hydrants that they were able to getting through all the private fire hydrants this summer, and most of the third of the system fire hydrants have also been completed. So far, there's a few remaining to be done, but just give you that little visual, little work that has been done in the district over the last 6-8 weeks.
Yeah, seasonals.
Mainly with the seasonal help.
Awesome. Yeah, the app on their phone, they can do the inspections and data gets updated. And they use it as a map to get to the ones that they, because people have no, they're not familiar with the district, and they were able to use that as a tool to get to the fire hydrant themselves.
Is there a reason they're avoiding Summit Park and Promontory?
Those are not on the shared property guidelines.
Oh, okay, sorry. But the important thing is getting the private fire hydrants done, because we charge a fee for those.
Yep.
And then if we get to a third of the district every year, so on a 3-year rotational basis.
Okay. Got it. That's a good reminder. Yeah, not all every year. Okay.
Thank you.
That's it on general? Okay. And then we didn't have any legal, so 8, open it up for questions on department updates. Anyone?
No questions.
I had one for Chris, super minor, but do you know who the drilling contractor was that did the geotech?
It was a guy out of Salt Lake.
Small operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't a big firm. It was just a driller.
I'd be interested in
the tech came out of Arizona that was here for it.
With the geotech firm.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then just a side comment. I thought it was interesting that you had winter is coming kind of preparation stuff already listed. So here we go.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? Oh, Joel's got a question.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Stone Park.
We're still there, Joel.
they haven't seceded yet. So,
are we making good progress?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay.
Woodland Drive. We're up on Crestview yesterday. We're on, even though Kilby Road isn't Summit Park, we were there last Thursday. We're on Park Ridge on Saturday. The leaks have been equal opportunity over the last couple weeks, Joel.
Okay.
Across the district.
Park City had some good leaks.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah.
We're not the only one.
Salt Lake City did, too.
Yeah, right? Had a couple of big beans go down.
Right, this one was 100 years old. And it's this asset management. I mean, so by the way, one of the firms that's been talking to Andy is the firm I'm in, 45, Brown Caldwell, about asset management. It's a separate division or group that I, and if it ever comes to anything, I'll recuse myself.
Yeah, so hopefully in November we can get that.
But it probably won't, because you guys usually do the selection by the staff, and then you just ask for, you would still need board approval.
Yeah, you would ultimately need board approval.
I would recuse myself there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's over 50 or 100,000, Dave, which one is it?
I don't remember.
I don't forget. Yeah, it might come to that. So that's a good comment.
Okay. Do you think that things will settle down in the wintertime for Summer Park?
Oh. That's a loaded question.
I know.
The ground freezes and holds our pipes together.
I wish that were true.
There'll be brand new asphalt on a road we'll only dig up two or three times.
I'm not trying to be a pain in the ass. I really am not. But I'm really concerned about Summit Park and what the people must be sick and tired of all the repairs that are being in Summit Park.
Yeah, I mean, they're tired of the unplanned ones and they're tired of the planned ones.
Speaking as a Summit Parker, though, I think most of us are happy that the water's coming out the tap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I
think
understand.
The response times are amazing. I think even with massive construction, you know, just in our backyard, it's not that big of an impact, and the water's only been off a couple of times, so... I think you've got happy customers, but I know where your concern's coming from. There's a lot of time and dollars being spent there.
Yeah, okay. I'll try not to ask them again.
No, please do.
Do you think that Summit Park piping's 50 years old?
It was 60, right?
At least.
Yeah, so it's kind of the checkpoint on design life and service life.
Well, but it's gone. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I think it was installed.
Yeah.
In the '90s, not in the '60s.
But I don't think it was installed very well either.
Yeah, depends on where it is.
There's an improvement in the '90s, and okay. That improvement's already fallen apart. So.
And
really?
And
it wasn't bedded right.
Even the '90s work was bedded on bedrock.
Correct.
Which is not.
We have sewer line in Summit Park that was literally bedded on old tires.
Oh
no way.
This is what's up.
Old I've never heard that.
There's a great change. That regional spot of picking a poke one. You guys bought out the Summit Park Special Service District and resolved this.
Yes.
And that was a county council decision?
Right. Yeah. The county commission decision.
County commission. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions on department updates? Okay. With that, we'll stand adjourned at 7:27 p.m. Thanks, everyone.